I can't help but be amazed at how the Lord orchestrates things. And what was that first reading that we did, Gary? What page was that? Let's turn there again. Turn to 472. You're not 34. And if you notice there, you notice that portions of this comes from the Psalms and comes from a specific psalm that you and I are becoming quite familiar with, isn't it? 119, right? And what I find fascinating is that some of the very concepts and thoughts that we will be discussing tonight were found in the reading that we looked at. And I believe that God's building a lesson for us tonight that He wants to plant deep in our hearts. So, Psalm 119, join me there. Psalm 119. We are marching through this psalm together, and I don't know about you, but it is amazing each week as God teaches us some new concepts and thoughts about His Word. By the end of this, we will have spent 22 lessons together in this psalm, studying and looking at the Word of God. And again, the Lord continues to confirm in my heart the importance of looking at His Word. We're going to look at verse 129 tonight, 129 through 136. We're going to read it. We'll read it together. I'll read out loud. You can read quietly in your seat. Psalm 119, 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. What we have here is the passage that again expresses the heart of the psalmist and his tremendous love for the Word of God. You look at the first two verses and you see his testimony of how he views the Word of God. He says that the testimonies of God, they're wonderful. Now when you take that word wonderful, what are some things that you describe as wonderful? Shout them out. In your life. A newborn baby. My wife. Good job, Gary. Come on, wonderful. What is wonderful? A sunrise. Sunset. Do you guys see the one tonight? Yes. Freshly fallen snow. Good. Our kids. How about you children? What's wonderful? Can you think of something that's wonderful? Did I hear ice cream? You know? The what?
The church.
Right. Good. Mom and dads. That's right. Now, yes. God is wonderful. Yes. All right. Now, taking all those things into mind, why are they wonderful? Why do we choose that word to describe these things, these people? There's joy in our heart when we think of them. Others? There's no words to describe the. It's amazing. Newborn baby. I don't know if you got. I get to watch, you know, obviously the birth of our children, and I'm brought to tears every time because of a miracle birth. It is wonderful. It is truly incredible. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Why you think these things are wonderful? Why do you think ice cream is wonderful, Haley? Because it tastes good. It's got a flavor and taste beyond anything else, right? Oh yeah. It's a good observation. Most of the things mentioned were gifts from God, not anything we can do or buy. Yeah. Good. Good thoughts. Well, the psalmist here takes that attitude that you have expressed, and he's carrying it over to the testimonies of the Lord, the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is God's witness. It's God bearing witness of who He is in His truth. And the psalmist calls that wonderful, extraordinary, marvelous, surpassing. Therefore doth my soul keep them, he says. Psalm 139 and verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And you know Psalm 139, right? In speaking about God and how much he knows, we cannot go from his presence. Look at verse 2 of the chapter, Psalm 119. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So the psalmist begins here in describing God's word as wonderful. And therefore, because it's wonderful, he keeps them, he observes them, he guards them as valuable. In verse 130, a very interesting concept opens up for us. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Every evening, we put our kids to bed. We try to do it at the same time. Very rarely does it always happen, but we try. When we're done with our bedtime routine, we go around and we kiss each one of our children and tuck them in, and then we walk out. We shut the light off, and we walk out, and we close the door. Well, later, when Julia and I go to bed, we go up, and we do our bedtime routine and get ready for bed, and then we always ask one another, did you check the kids? Well, if neither one of us did, then one of us then will go in, and we will quietly open the door, and in that house you've got to know how to twist and lift. So you twist and lift, and you open the door, and you turn the hall light on. And as the door swings open, light floods the darkness. Now why do we do that, turn that hall light on? Why do we open the door and leave it open as we go in there? It's so that our understanding, our knowledge of the condition of our children becomes apparent to us. For if we were to leave everything off, all the lights off, go in the dark, perhaps we wouldn't see if Levi was laying on the floor. Or we wouldn't see if someone had fallen out of bed or two kids were in one bed, or we wouldn't see that. And so the picture that the psalmist here now is giving us is that the entrance or the opening of thy words, God, giveth light. So you picture a dark room, and when the opening of the door, the light from the hall floods in, and you can see that light. And that light is illumining the things that are in there. And so it is for the Word of God. As the Word of God, as it is opened up for us, in essence, what I'm doing tonight, what we've done this morning in a Bible study, as God's Word is unfolded, this word literally could be translated, an unfolding. As it is unfolded for us, we are flooded with the light of God's truth. And so the psalmist explaining that, the entrance of thy words giveth light, he further clarifies it by saying, it giveth understanding unto the simple, unto the naive, unto those that are ignorant of the truth. For me to walk into the dark bedroom of my children doesn't make any sense if I want to check on them. But it makes more sense if I have the light to guide me. And so therefore, God's word is a light. And we've seen that before in this psalm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In thinking of that, Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. One of the commentaries that I read puts it this way, the language does not therefore denote the entrance of that word into the mind, but it's being made open to us so that we may perceive its beauty or may ourselves enter into its meaning, its mysteries, and its beauties. God's word is opened up to us, and it gives us understanding. So after the psalmist here in the first two verses describes God's word and some qualities of it, he then goes on a barrage of requests, of desires, of needs. Oh God, help me, he says. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Now, the picture that I get here of I opened my mouth and panted is the picture that I get after I've run for a while. I can remember even back in the days when I was in shape in high school and playing soccer. You always ran soccer. And after the soccer game, I would be dead tired and my body would be shaking and longing for more and more oxygen. If you think about when you run and you get all done, your body just naturally says those two holes right there just aren't enough. You gotta get the mouth open and get some more air in there. Why is it that our bodies pant? Why is it that our bodies gasp for the air? It's because that air is absolutely necessary for our survival. For us to go on. We need it. And so the psalmist says, I opened my mouth and I panted. Why? For I longed for thy commandments. That's the attitude that he has towards the very commandments of God. I need them. And I need them so desperately that I open up every opportunity, any way that I can, to get them in. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then Psalm 42, 1, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The obvious question is, do we pant after the things of God? Do we gasp for them? Do we have that longing, as an appetite, if you will? It's something that you need for life. Now, obviously, people in the world, they're living just fine on the outside without God's word. But inside, they're dying all day long. And dear ones, you have the very source of truth, the very source of life in the word of God. And make sure that it's a part of your life. There's a steady diet of it every day. Now, verse 32, the psalmist, making a request, he says, "Look, turn to me and be merciful," or "be gracious, so show favor unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name." That last phrase there could also be translated, "as is your way with those who love your name." The psalmist here, I love how he relates to God very candidly, doesn't he? Just open, honest, raw. He's crying out for the very grace of God to be shown upon him. Verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Again, he is requesting, "Lord, look upon me, be gracious unto me," and now he's saying, "order my steps." This idea of order means to establish or direct or arrange them. This is interesting, an interesting thought, and I use a lot of illustrations with children because that's where I'm at. So that's what you get. But sometimes one of my children will come and they'll grab a hold of my hands and they'll step on my feet. And then what's the expectation? The expectation is, "Daddy, walk. Walk with me." And what I do then is, they're on my feet and I walk, and my steps are arranging theirs. For they step right where I walk. They go right where I go. The other day when it snowed, we were out playing in the snow, and we have a game that we play in the snow where I make a big circle with my feet. And I tell the kids, "Stay in my path. Stay in the path that I make in the snow. I am seeking to order their steps. I want them to stay in the path because that's the rules of the game." We're still working on staying in the path. But order my steps, order each beat of my foot in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. There's a lot in that. Do you realize the power that sin can have on your life? It can paralyze you. It can stifle you in your growth. And this is why at the Lord's table we seek to make sure our hearts are pure and clean. Because sin can have a dominating effect on a believer's life. It can stunt our growth and diminish the effects that we have for the kingdom of Christ. May this be our prayer. Oh God, may you not allow any wickedness or sin to exercise power over me. I dare say, even as I suggest such a thought, if there is sin in your life in this way, it's probably coming to your mind right now. And that is something that God wants you to deal with. Wants me to deal with. He wants to bring these things out in the open. And he says, so you need to get rid of those things Because sin can have a dominating effect on your life. Psalm 40 verse 2 says this, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God can do that for you in your life. He can establish your way and set your feet upon a solid rock, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 134. Now remember, he's asking God to look upon him, to be merciful unto him, to order his steps. In verse 134, to deliver him, to redeem him, to ransom him, to make him free from the oppression, the violent pressing down, the exploitation of man. So will I keep thy precepts. This is an interesting thought because this is the cry of the persecuted church. This is the cry of the church. Oh God, would you make us free from the oppression of man? Would you deliver us from these pressures? And dear ones, we in America have known that freedom for many, many years. And may we not take that for granted. Verse 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. What a precious thought it is to think about God's face shining upon us, that light of his word. And teach me thy statutes. And then finally, we're going to conclude with 136, which brings us right back to the concept that was discussed tonight. And do we weep for those that are lost? The psalmist here is crying, rivers. I mean, this is a word for channel, for a canal of waters that are running down mine eyes. You know what it's like when you cry and you're really crying. You've got a whole river of water going down your face. And the psalmist here is crying these tears. Why? Because of those people that are out there and around him that are not keeping God's law. Why cry for them? Why? Well, dear ones, we cry for them because they know not God. They do not understand the truth of who he is. Hope is absent from their lives. Think back to the days when that was you. And think about the change that took place in your life and what a difference Christ made. May we grow in our sensitivity towards those that are lost, for their tremendous need for the truth. The Lord Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. Wept. Wept over them. Luke 19. The Apostle Paul, Romans 9. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He weeps for his fellow Israelites who do not know God. Again, God teaching us tonight from Psalm 119, all about the Word of God. How do you view God's Word? Is it wonderful? Do you allow it to gain entrance and to give you light? Cry out to the Lord as the psalmist did and ask him to look upon you, to be gracious unto you, to order your steps, to deliver you from the oppression of man, to shine his face upon you. And may you and I weep for the lost, and may we be motivated to share with them God's light, that they might know God. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. And I I say this every week, but I am amazed at the things that you teach us. Lord, this is a living word, and your Spirit is alive in our hearts. And God, take us from this place. Motivate us to be messengers of your truth. Give us a heart for the lost. May we weep for them and show us ways to share Christ with them. In Jesus' name, amen.